Ethiopia crumbles, and liberated nations arise from its ashes. This is Mimnotes and Commentary from the Maoist Internationalist Movement. The Ethiopian-occupied people of Eritrea and Tigray have joined forces in what appear to be the last stages of their military struggle to escape from Ethiopian domination. As the joint forces of the Eritrean People's Liberation Front and the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, EPLF and TPLF, close in on the capital of Addis Ababa, the USA has begun pulling out the families of its diplomats. In retaliation for the rebels' advances, the Ethiopian government has intensified systematic bombings of civilians in the rebel-controlled areas. The desperate Ethiopian government has resorted to intensive systematic bombings of Eritrea. After losing the northern port city of Massawa in February of last year, the government began using napalm. Eritrea, an Italian colony until 1941, is a Red Sea territory in northeast Africa with a population of about 4 million. During the last century, the Ethiopian central government invaded and conquered several nearby regions, including the so-called provinces of Eritrea and Tigray, leading to today's liberation struggles. The United Nations created a bogus federation between Eritrea and Ethiopia in 1952 after 9 years of interim British occupation. But in 1962, in violation of the UN decree, Ethiopia annexed its northern neighbor by force. The war began in 1962 and now constitutes the longest-running liberation struggle in Africa. 500,000 Eritreans have died in the war so far. The United States and the Soviet Union have conducted an extensive military buildup in the region because of Ethiopia's strategic position on the Red Sea near Middle East oil fields. Since the downfall of the U.S. puppet government of Haile Selassie in the 1974 revolution, Ethiopia has relied on the Soviet Union for military aid. Its puppet status transferred from one imperialist power to another. But with decreasing aid from the Soviet Union, the phony communist Ethiopian regime has steadily lost ground. Originally, the EPLF incorporated Maoism into its platform, but has since dropped some of that ideology as a guide to action. The experience of being oppressed by both the U.S. and Soviet empires lends itself strongly to an understanding of the dangers of imperialism disguised as socialism. The danger of support from the USSR. The EPLF and TPLF have from their beginnings relied more on popular support than on the tainted benevolence of foreign powers. With largely rural bases of support in a population overwhelmingly dominated by peasants, the EPLF in particular has expanded this popular base. One-third of EPLF soldiers are women, and women occupy many leadership positions. While the Ethiopian government has used pervasive food shortages as a weapon against the people, targeting food shipments in its attacks, the EPLF has concentrated on military targets. But the real solution to regional hunger problems remains control over land and resources. Even during the worst of famines, Ethiopia and its occupied territories have continued to export cash crops grown on the best arable land. With Ethiopia's mini-empire coming apart at the seams, the possibility for self-determination for its occupied people and the weakening of the Ethiopian ruling class becomes more and more real. Dominated by de facto Cold War thinking, many Americans have supported revolutionary struggles backed by the Soviet Union, only to be disappointed again and again. But all the while, the people of Eritrea and Tigray have fought on. With or without the attention of American activists, their victory may now be at hand. For more information, send your questions or comments to MIM Notes and Commentary, MIM Distributors, P.O. Box 3576, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106-3576, or write to this station.